Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, a few weeks ago, we started this series on how to avoid becoming a failed leader. And you think of some of the headlines that have made news over the last few years. We really need to learn how to avoid the pitfalls of leadership. Maybe the dark side of leadership, as Gary McIntosh says in his book of the same title. Gary joins us as we continue this series looking at the various kind of personality types, the kind of dysfunctional profiles of leaders, and how we can work on overcoming those dark sides. Gary, good to have you on Open House again.
Yeah, Sheridan, it is good to be back with you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's just go through those five dysfunctional leader profiles. The first one is the compulsive leader. Then there's the narcissistic leader, which we looked at last week. The paranoid leader, the codependent leader, and the passive-aggressive leader. So we're going to focus on the paranoid leader today. And the whole idea is that as we explore these, we can see, well, yes, I've got these tendencies, but here's the way I can overcome them so I can last the distance. Now, tell me about the paranoid leader. Define and illustrate the paranoid leader for me.
Quite simply, the paranoid leader is a person who seems to be afraid that other people or perhaps other events are going to undermine their leadership. So they tend to be highly suspicious of people around them, oftentimes blaming other people for what actually is their own failures, but they feel like other people are trying to manipulate circumstances to cause them to fail.
Okay. When you think of the word paranoid, it's a very strong word, and you think, boy, we couldn't have any paranoid leaders in the church. But as you say that, you know, you can actually see, well, some people do have an insecurity, I guess, and are worried about, people manipulating them.
They do. What I've noticed is that when leaders, either in the church world or the business world, become paranoid, it often has been caused from experiences or events in the past where they maybe people they were working quite close to them did things to kind of undermine them. You know, maybe they had a colleague who lied about them, or maybe they had a colleague who promised they would fulfill some responsibility, but then they didn't do it. When a leader has had a number of experiences of people around them who have, you know, not followed through like they expected them to, sometimes they gradually become somewhat paranoid of other people in the future.
Hmm. You talk about former U.S. President Richard Nixon being a paranoid leader, being very suspicious of others, including his own staff members. Do you think the Watergate scandal could have gone a different way, maybe, or been avoided if he hadn't been so paranoid?
I think it possibly could have. You know, the fact that he recorded everything, that every conversation that he had, actually came back to hurt him, but he was actually doing it to protect himself, you know, so because he thought other people might be manipulating the situation or undermining him, and so he wanted to have a record of what he actually said. So that would actually be a sign of a person who is paranoid, a person who is spies or schemes against other people, which is actually what Nixon did with Watergate. He was spying on other people. So if we find ourselves wanting to spy on other people to find out what other people are thinking about us or what other people are saying about us, you know, sometimes we'll have colleagues or people who serve underneath us who maybe we hear that they have criticized us. And if we're hypersensitive to that, it may mean that we are a little bit paranoid.
So how does this translate into the church environment? What does a paranoid pastor actually do? What kind of behaviors do they start to evidence from your experience?
Well, sometimes they, are very hypersensitive to any sorts of criticism. Maybe something is said about their preaching or something about their leadership, and they get extremely angry or upset, and people around them think, well, you know, they over-responded to the level of criticism that was there. They also tend to create rigid structures. For instance, they'll oftentimes have excessive meetings, and they'll actually have a lot of reports, expect their staff members to turn in maybe a report every week about what they're doing. And that's the attempt, of course, of the paranoid leader to keep a certain level of control and to really know what's going on, because they have the sneaking suspicion that other people are trying to scheme against them. And so their attempt to control as an attempt to really know what's going on all the time. Sometimes they're very guarded in their relationships. You know, pastors in particular sometimes will talk a lot about the need to have a sense of community and openness and sharing and honesty with each other, and yet sometimes they themselves fail to do that. They fail to be open. They fail to be honest. And again, the reason why they fail to be open is they're afraid if they're too open with other people that other people will use what they discover about them to undermine them in some way. And so they tend to be very guarded in their relationships. Everything's somewhat businesslike, because they just don't want you to know anything about them personally.
Yeah, boy, it starts to become very controlling, doesn't it? This is Open House. We're continuing our series on overcoming the dark side of leadership with Gary McIntosh. Well, it sounds like it could take a lot of energy to actually be a paranoid leader, doesn't it? You're worrying about others, you're being anxious, you're being sensitive, you're wanting to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing, and as you said, you know, bringing in all reports so you can stay up to date and everything. It must be very tiring being paranoid.
It really is, and that's great insight, because when you're constantly worrying about what other people are doing behind your back, you know, it takes a lot of energies. That may be why sometimes there's an overreaction, because you're just simply tired.
Yeah, I was thinking when we were talking about the compulsive leader a couple of weeks ago, just how much you know, you keep on going down that track and you're leading to burnout. It's probably going to be the same when we talk about the codependent leader next week, but it almost sounds the same way with the paranoid leader. You'd be spending so much energy that you just can't keep on going like that.
Being paranoid keeps you from becoming everything that you could be, because you find it difficult to trust other people. And so you can't free people up to be the leaders that they need to be in their own particular roles and responsibilities. And so you put so many controls on other people sometimes that they can't work out of their own giftedness, and they can't work out of their own strengths. You know, the basic underlying problem is that the paranoid leader has this great feeling of insecurity and a lack of confidence. And again, I think for most paranoid leaders, it arises because they did have situations in the past where sometimes people, you know, did turn on them. And so they're fearful that it might happen again, and they're going to do everything within their power to keep it from happening.
Well, let's talk about some solutions then. If you say that the core issue is insecurity and a lack of confidence, how can the leader become more secure and more confident?
I think, number one, they need to choose carefully, you know, the people that they work with. So they need to do a better job of selection, choose people that they can trust. They need to do background checks, make sure the people that they're choosing to work with are people who are trustworthy. Obviously, they need to work on their own feelings of insecurity. Mm-hmm. They need to, you know, think back into their past and really try and pinpoint what it is that has caused them to be so insecure, and to really think through that logically and prayerfully. And, you know, see if they can resolve whatever issues there might be in their past that are leading to this this sense of insecurity. I think, too, people who work with a paranoid leader need to be very cautious to not do anything that would cause the paranoid leader to think that they might be undermining them somehow or other. So if you work with a paranoid leader, I think you have to be very communicative. You have to be open and upfront, sharing things with them. You need to avoid any backroom talk, whispering, criticism that would be behind the leader's back or something like that, because if the leader hears that you're doing that, then they will definitely be paranoid about you, and then they won't, you know, they won't trust you.
Yeah. Is there a time to actually raise the issue with them? You actually say, you know, I kind of feel like you're looking over your shoulder a little bit too much?
You know, I think there is sometimes, but I think you have to be very cautious about it. And, you know, I would do it in pieces. Otherwise, I would do it gradually. I think the best thing you can do is to do your job well, you know, to prove to them that you're on their side, that you're, you know, you might even go into a paranoid leader and just say to them, look, I'm here to support you and in any way I can and to make you successful. I think just telling them right up front that you're on their team goes a long way to help them.
Right. Okay. Yep, that's a very gracious response. All right, Gary, good to have you with us on Open House. Thanks so much.
Okay, good to see you. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week when we're going to be looking at the codependent leader. It's Gary McIntosh. He's the co-author of this Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.